Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, Grand Rapids City Clerk Joel Hondorp joins in to talk about the August 4th Election Day. The Roving Mic hits the 100th anniversary of the National Cherry Festival. Next Tuesday evening, the West Michigan Asian American Association holds its fourth annual 5K run or walk. We talked to author Juliet Faithful about her book, Liar's Dice, and Better Made is at it again with new products. We talked to Rebecca Penhallow about what is on offer.
Let's get into an important date for us all. August 4th is a primary election, so let's talk about it. Grand Rapids City Clerk Joel Hondorp, you've been waiting for this day for a bit. Good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning, Shelley. You know, I'm stretching my arm to get you in that dunk tank. Maybe I better do some more stretching and get ready to dunk you. But anyway, no, elections are coming up. Looking forward to it.
Good. Good. Let's see you tonight then. Let's not digress, because this is all about you and our city and obviously an exercise to vote. August 4th, generally give me the details of what this day is all about.
Well, August 4 is Election Day, which we traditionally know is the first Tuesday after the first Monday in August for the primary. In November, it'll be the general election. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Go to michigan.gov/vote. Some polling locations have changed. Precinct numbers have changed as we've done some redistricting. So go to michigan.gov/vote to know before you go. But that's just Election Day. Elections actually have started back in June when we mailed out absentee ballots. So we know there's about 20,000 Grand Rapidians that still have their absentee ballots. They need to return them. I would put them in a drop box or bring them to City Hall, or you could vote them on Election Day. But another opportunity that you have is starting Saturday is you can vote early in person. So we have three locations in Grand Rapids that you can go, and you can go to any of those sites at St. Peter and Paul School on the northwest side, Ottawa Hills on the southeast side, and GRPS University on the northeast side. So you can go to any one of those sites starting at 9 o'clock on Saturday. Once again, go to michigan.gov/vote to find out where your early voting sites are.
And if I do want to get this done in person, I can be in line, at the very end and still come through?
Yeah, as long as you're in line when the day ends. So for early voting, if we're done at 5 o'clock, as long as you're in line at 5 o'clock on Election Day, if you're in line at 8 o'clock, also you can still register to vote up until 8 o'clock on Election Day as well. So if you recently moved and you haven't updated your information, you need to go to the clerk's office in order to vote in this election, and then you need to bring a proof of residency. There is still time to register to vote as well.
Was going to be my follow-up. There is time to vote, and I don't want to put that off until the last minute, but what's my deadline here?
Up until 8 o'clock on election night. We've had people that were in line at 8 o'clock, and we were registering people, as they've gone through the line. So lots of opportunities for voters. The other thing is, if you still have an absentee ballot, you can also put that through a tabulator yourself during early voting or on Election Day. So it's kind of a best of both worlds hybrid voting. We mail you a ballot. You have time to study the candidates, study proposals, and then watch the ballot go through the tabulator. So voters have so many options now.
Yes. This is a primary election, Joel. Can I vote on everything on the ballot, or do I have to make choices?
No, Shelley, that's a great question. So in Michigan, we have a semi-open, semi-closed primary system. So we don't make you register as a Republican or Democrat or Green or Libertarian or whatever. But we put both parties on the same ballot. So the Republican and Democratic candidates are on the same ballot. You have to stay in your lane. So there's no crossover. So if you vote for Democratic governor candidate and Republican U.S. Senate candidate, that will cancel out. So make sure that if you're voting in the Democratic primary, you stay in the Democratic column. If you're voting in the Republican primary, you can make sure you stay in the Republican column. Also, many ballots are going to have either a school election or some kind of city commission race. Everything's different based on your precinct. That's why I always say go to michigan.gov/vote to see what your ballot looks like.
Joel, in general, you mentioned some of the precincts and polling locations have changed since 2024. Why do they change in general?
Well, because voters have so much more options, because they can vote. Any voter can vote absentee, and you can have a ballot automatically sent to you every time. So we had 30,000 absentee ballots mailed out. So out of our normal 90,000 in a general election, you know, that's a third of the votes that are already getting mailed out to people. And then with early voting, we're finding out that a majority of people are either voting early in an early voting site and or voting absentee. And so precinct voting has really, the people using that has really decreased. In order to be more efficient with resources, we looked at moving some precinct lines. So we went from 74 precincts down to 59 precincts. Also, Wyoming, Kentwood, Walker, a lot of our surrounding cities have done that as well.
Jill Hondorp with us, our Grand Rapids City Clerk, preparing us for the August 4th vote. Lastly, Joel, obviously this is such that it's a privilege to vote. What do I bring with me as I enter my precinct that day?
Yeah, so you'll be asked for photo ID. So we always ask produce photo ID. If you do not have photo ID on you, we'll ask you to swear an oath under penalty of perjury that you are who you say you are, and then you can vote. So we ask for photo ID, and 99% of voters vote with their Michigan photo ID, but sometimes you might walk in and you might not have it on you because you're out walking the dog or just out in the neighborhood. So photo ID, you can bring notes with you if you want to, like a cheat sheet of what the candidates that you want to select. Just don't leave anything in the booth. Make sure you take everything out with you because we don't want to influence any other voter. The other thing is there's no campaigning within 100 feet of the precinct door. So don't wear your candidate T-shirts, hats, buttons, and like that. What we say is from 101 feet out is campaigning. Within 100 feet of that precinct, we are now switching from the campaigning to the voting, and we want to make that a very sacred time for people to get in, to vote, and not be inundated with political messages anymore. This is their time. That 100 feet is kind of that magical time where we move from campaigning to voting.
And lastly, you want to give some kudos to the hard workers that spend most of their day obviously serving the voter?
Yeah, the election inspectors are definitely the backbone of this. Obviously, I can't be in 59 precincts and absentee counting board and early voting sites. It takes a village. I mean, it's upwards to 600 to 700 people in the city of Grand Rapids to work in all these different election activities. They also have to have training every 2 years. So we're in the process of training election inspectors as well. And there's always time for you to sign up to be an election inspector in the next for the November election. We're always looking for more election inspectors. You can go to our website at grandrapidsmi.gov/grvotes. Go to the election inspector area, and you can register or you can sign up to be an election inspector right online.
Well, again, thank you for your service. So, of course, throughout your own career, earning numerous professional distinctions, it's good to be a master municipal clerk and, of course, recognized at the Michigan Association of Municipal Clerks Township Clerk of the Year, plus the latest when it comes to the newest elected Grand Rapids Rotary president. We'll get you back at that. Why should we vote, Joel, in final question?
Well, you can't complain. If you don't vote, you can't complain. This is what I've always say. This is your time to have your voice heard. And make sure you research who your city commission candidates are, your local candidates, your school board. That's why I always say go to Michigan.gov to see all the candidates, because people come in, they're there to vote for president and for governor, and then they look at this ballot and they're like, what is a drain commissioner? What is a Wayne State governor? So make sure you know all the stuff that's on that ballot. Make sure you understand what the proposals, what exactly they're asking for.
Thank you. One more time, what's that website?
Michigan.gov/vote.
Great. Thanks to you, Joel Hondorp. Keep up your great work on behalf of the Grand Rapids City Clerk position, and we'll catch you on the swing for your Rotary interview. How's that?
Thanks, Shelley. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
I'm Shelley Irwin. Thanks for listening. The Roving Mic hits the 100th anniversary of the National Cherry Festival. It's this past weekend, speaking with those, actually weekend before last, those lined up for the Cherry Royale Parade, including the Queen, the Executive Director, and a cherry clown. We begin with Samantha Olson Hansen with Olson Foods.
What part are you playing?
We are Grand Marshal of the Cherry Festival Parade.
How do you get to be that?
Well, you know, I am fortunate enough that my great-grandparents started this, and we're a huge part of the community, and we're just honored to be a part of it. We've continued on some of their traditions of involving ourselves in the community, bringing it up to what it is today, and we'd love to keep continuing it.
Who gets the hot seat in the front seat here?
This is Gerald Olson and his wife, Sharon. So they are a part of the second generation of the stores, and myself is the fourth. So we have three generations here today.
Nice. What's it like to be here for the 100th?
It is an incredible experience and opportunity. You know, 100 years of Cherry Festival, 100 years of Olson's, just it shows how much this town rallies together to make a great community.
And why support Olson's?
Support Olson's because we love to support other local businesses and farmers, community partners, nonprofits, just the region in general. And by helping us, you're helping everybody else.
Congratulations on this unique role.
Thank you so much.
Magdalene Kleinricher, National Cherry Queen.
And how many days have you been raining?
This is my first day. My first big debut, and I'm so excited.
What is your first responsibility?
Waving, smiling, talking about cherries, and riding in a cool convertible.
At what point did you decide you needed to vie for this title? When did you know that you wanted to become the queen?
Well, it was about a year ago. Miss Cindy, she does a lot with the Queen's Committee. She actually ran into my mom at Sam's Club. And she told my mom, like, hey, Magdalene should run for this. And as I just continued to think about it, I ended up getting a sponsor. And then during the week where we were all on the court, I pushed through and I remembered, this is what I want. This is the end goal. And Queen Ainslie, the past queen, she was so awesome. And I looked up to her and she did such a good job. So watching her and understanding how she dealt with this big responsibility inspired me to just own it, sister.
What will be the one thing you must do this year?
Represent cherries. That's the baseline thing that we all have to do, but going to festivals, getting the information out, talking about our farmers, ensuring our farmers are keeping up with the production so we have this festival.
And what are you doing in life? What are you studying?
I'm going into my last year of law school at Ave Maria School of Law. I think I'm going to go into estate planning. I really like it. Tends to click with me a little more, but I would also like to get involved with the cherry industry, the farmer side of just agricultural law in a way, helping our farmers get tax grants, tax write-offs, things that they could do to ensure that, you know, they're prosperous.
Have a great year and have a great parade.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, I'm Sherry Cherry from Capital Clowns, Cherry Capital Clowns. I'm almost one of the last remaining Cherry Capital Clowns left. And
is that a good thing?
It's wonderful because I'm representing all of the, not only Sherry Cherry and the Cherry Festival, but all of the existing clowns that came before me and after me. I have an article in the newspaper about our history, and we started back in the 90s with 5 people, and then we ended up with 15, kind of dwindled off because I'm 80 now, and the others aren't doing so well. But I'm back in the game because we need now to share love and kindness and joy more than ever before. And this is the 100th year anniversary. So, yay, I got Cherry Cherry out of the closet, and we're ready to go.
Emily Mizio, Cherry Industry Person of the Year. Emily Mizio.
And you have a big role today. What is that?
I'm riding in the parade. Yes, having a fun time.
Tell me more about this. It's the Industry Person of the Year. How do you come to be?
So I am a cherry grower up in northern Michigan. My husband and I manage a farm up there. And then I am a part of some of the national and Michigan-based boards and have worked really hard over the past few years with those boards. So.
So how's cherry season this year?
That's kind of a loaded question. It is a smaller crop than we would like to see. It's a smaller crop in Michigan, but it's also a small crop throughout the United States. It's probably in Michigan a third of our normal size or less.
How many outfits do you have that have cherries on them?
This is my second cherry dress of the week.
How important is the cherry industry to Michigan and the U.S. of A.?
So in Michigan, we grow 70% of the nation's tart cherries. So it is a backbone to the state, I would say. Michigan is the second leading for specialty crops diversity. And so cherries are very important to our economy, to the tourism up in northern Michigan, and to the farmers.
You have your wave down, correct?
I do. I've been practicing all week.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
My name is Barbara James, and we're going to be in the big parade.
Yes. And you have a tricycle. What's your role? Are you an ambassador?
Yes, I am.
What role does that involve?
Cherry Festival, I do the beer tent, Pepsi tent, Welcome Center, Silverware tent, about four jobs I do.
Why do you do this?
Because I like people and I like to help people.
Have you been doing it for a while?
15 years.
What do you think about celebrating 100 years?
I love it. Like I'm celebrating 250 years with American.
And you get a lucky spot in the parade, literally riding your cherry bike.
Yes, I am.
All right, have fun.
Thank you.
I'm Amber Sargent, and I am holding the National Festival Marching Band banner. I do it every year. It's amazing, and I love it.
How'd you get the role?
Well, I signed up through the internet. There they have a thing that comes out, and you just sign up whatever you want.
And what do you know about the National Cherry Festival Marching Band? That's got to be a big deal.
It is a big deal. They're amazing. I love their music, and they've been around for years, so it's wonderful.
What is it about this parade that's so cool?
Family-oriented. It's the heart of the whole town. So the whole town comes in, and it's just hard work, and we take pride in it in Traverse City.
And is it extra special this year?
Absolutely, 100, the 100th, and we love it.
Am I going to see you again next year?
Absolutely, every year.
Kat Pei serves as executive director.
It's a beautiful day for a parade, and we are kicking off the DTE Energy Foundation Cherry Royale Parade in just a few minutes, and it is amazing.
It is amazing.
The weather's great.
I saw the queen and the marshals and now the executive director.
You've seen us all.
And so Tuesday morning you start working on 101.
Oh, we've already started.
Oh! Kat, what does this do for Traverse City?
This is a huge economic impact, about $46 million annually for the Grand Traverse region, not to mention the amount of visitors that come in beyond that and just get to experience cherries and orchard, Traverse City, the beautiful surroundings we have. It is an incredible opportunity to showcase our local community.
Enjoy this final day.
Thank you so much, Shelley. We appreciate you.
Mitchell Treadwell, City Commissioner for Traverse City.
So how are you feeling on number 100?
Well, it's a great day for National Cherry Festival. It's been an exciting week of a lot of fun events. Yes, there's been traffic and crowds in Traverse City, but that's what we love about the National Cherry Festival.
And, of course, the behind scenes. You all have to vote yes, and you have to be behind this with mm-hmm. leadership, yes?
Yes. We have to approve the permits, the street closures, and the fireworks, and a lot of the stuff that goes on to make this happen. And it is a glorious sight to see it all come together and a happy, well-run festival.
To see the city commissioner out here on a bicycle.
Mm. Well, it's the most practical way to get around town. You don't have to worry about parking. You don't have to worry about road closures and traffic.
And I trust number 100, as most cherry festivals do, bring the crowds to your city.
Oh, definitely. We had 500,000 people for the air show last weekend, and there's tens of thousands of people along the parade route right now.
Great. Well, have a good commission, and thanks for what you do.
Thank you.
Shelley Duke, and I am actually from here. Grew up, born and raised here.
I came up to you because we're both Shelleys with an EY. How rare are we?
We are rare, and we are precious. Love it. Thank
you. What's your role here with the parade?
I am helping with the band
I'm the water girl because my best friend is the one of the pom-pom dancers, and she's been doing this over 20 years.
She's going to need some water.
She's going to need some water, and I'm here to support her.
How exciting is this? We're about 2 minutes to kick off.
This is exciting. I love this.
And do you love the crowd that comes to see?
Beautiful. Love having not only locals, but so many people from everywhere. Everybody loves cherries, right?
Make sure that you get your own water.
Thank you. I will, Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
Appreciate it.
Let's move on to another activity that involves wellness and getting out and enjoying your own backyard. Mark your calendar for next Tuesday evening. It's back. We're looking forward to this WMAAA Bon Me 5K Run and Walk, but it's much, much more. It's eating what you it's what you get to eat afterwards is the highlight. I'm glad that both of my guests are here. On behalf of the West Michigan Asian American Association, Christina Fong, always a pleasure. How's your violin?
It's great, yep.
That side of you as
yes.
well, the talents you present with the Grand Rapids Symphony. Glad that you are here, Executive Director Yilin Wenlin Liu. Glad that you are here, Dr. Wenlin Liu. You ready for this yet again another 5K?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to jinx it, but we're coming off last year that was we all sat together in the thunderstorm and you finally had to pull the plug, but it's not predicted this year, my friend Christina, so let's run and walk and have a good time.
Absolutely. So whether you're like trying to get your PR, because it is a USTAF certified course, or you're just, you know, trying to get better in shape, which is what we're trying to push for this race, is health. And so we also have a 1 mile walk option too. Families are welcome, children are welcome, and pets are welcome too. But yes, if you are really a serious runner, we have, it's timed, it's a USTAF certified 5K.
Yes, thank you. Talk to me about the association, if you would, Yilin, with why you are doing this and the awareness to be had.
Oh yeah, thank you so much. That's a great question. So West Michigan Asian American Association has been around for 16 years. And then what's something that people might not know is we have three very important pillars: health, education, and economic empowerment. So this 5K race is closely related to our primary pillar, which is health. Like Christina said, this is a family-friendly event. And we are also hoping by, you know, bringing folks together, runners, walkers, or you just, you know, there to enjoy the fun, to bring awareness there is a lot of hidden health disparities in the Asian American communities. Like type 2 diabetes is a hidden issue among Asian Americans. And then especially among the newer immigrants and refugee populations, especially with the language being the number one barrier, right? Or the, you know, the confidence to navigate public spaces or navigate system in this country, and being outdoors, being active, mm-hmm. has proven to be a barrier for those populations as well. So this time around, we have been very intentional to reaching out to a lot of newer immigrants and refugee population in the Asian communities. We work with faith-based leaders and to really have them encourage their folks to come out and to just, you know, see what this is, right? See that, you know, feel comfortable and know that this place is for them as well.
Yes. All right. It is a Tuesday evening. Christina, give me the format of the evening.
Okay, so we will, it's pretty much the format of most races for what people would expect. We have the race, and the walk starts 5 minutes after.
What time and where am I headed?
6:30, Tuesday, 6 days from now, the 28th at 6:30 p.m. So the race itself will start at 6:30.
Millennium Park,
yeah, Grant Pavilion, And the walk will start 5 minutes after, and afterwards we will have dinner, which actually brings me to talking about the race, other things about the race. So my co-race director, Charles Zhu, who could not be here this morning, mm-hmm. We were very intentional when we formed this race. It's like we like pillars in Asia. So we had three pillars too. And it was like eat until you're satisfied, 80% full. So we have a very light, healthy, but satisfying dinner.
Which is a unique. I mean, it's not a bagel sandwich.
No, it isn't. It's a Vietnamese, very delicious sandwich. And then second is to move more. In Chinese culture especially, think of you should walk more. That's a big part of health. And then the third, it kind of is universal through Eastern culture, is that we try to cultivate a calm mind. And it's and that carries over into the community.
Yes. How does one get registered? Because obviously, I trust you can register right up until the event.
Yes, and you can. Yeah, you can even show up on the day of. But please don't do that, so we know how many sandwiches to count for. Go to Run Sign Up, and it's you can also visit
our website.
Yeah,
which is westmichiganaaa.org. It's on the home landing page.
Elin, tell me more. The formal title's a bit of a change. Educate us to the, is it the Banh Mi?
Yes.
What does this mean?
Yeah. It's a signature Vietnamese sandwich. And this year, we're very excited to work with a new vendor who is a Vietnamese lady who used to work as a social worker back in Vietnam. So she was very excited to cater, and she was willing to give us a huge discount because she said, I want to contribute. I want to support my community too, because I used to be a social worker. I know how social welfare and social services are important to common folks. So we're very excited.
Yes. Christina, did you run this morning?
I did not. I'm running this evening. I'm running this evening with two of my friends.
Nice. You should come over to the Metro Way 5K. They actually have a 5K tonight. That'll warm us up for Tuesday. What else will the West Michigan Asian American Association do this year? What else is big?
Yes, but before I answer that question, I do want to give a shout out to Corewell Health, who is a sponsor of our 5K this year. In the approval letter, they said we want to support like-minded organizations, so that they see us, they hear us, they validate us, and we are very thankful for Corewell Health for their partnership on the 5K. And coming up, we also have the very exciting Asian Gala, which is scheduled for October 21st at GOE Center. Registration starts at 5:30. You will hear more from us from our social media and website regarding the gala. So stay tuned.
Good. Yes. What else do we need to know, Christina?
Just sign up as soon as possible. And even last year when we rained out, we did some exercises in the pavilion, and we had a really good, a healthy dinner. And it was a lot about community, too.
Yes, which, again, as part of the pillar process. Well, as I look ahead, Tuesday, mostly sunny, high near 85. So be careful what you wish for. I have a feeling the race goes on. Your final words, Elin?
As Christina said, this is a community event, right? If you're a professional runner, this is for you. If you just enjoy walking or, you know, gather with fellows from your community, this is your event. And a new WAMA t-shirt will be unveiled at this event. And of course, the t-shirt, the Banh Mi sandwich is all included as part of the registration. So don't miss out on this one.
No. That's a great way for a Tuesday night. The WAMA Banh Mi 5K Run and Walk to support the West Michigan Asian American Association. All right, good enough. Lace up your tennis shoes. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you.
It's called Liar's Dice, where we talk to you, author Juliet Faithful. That's Faithful with two L's. It's your debut novel. Let's talk about this book that is, although fiction, inspired by your own family and childhood experiences. Good morning to you, and glad that you're here, Juliet.
Good morning, Sally. Thank you for having me on your show.
Welcome. Awarded several awards, a fellowship to the Novel Incubator Program, Boston's Grub Street. Of course, your Liar's Dice, already a winner of the 2024 Irish Writers Center's Novel Fair and more. And I like that you are, your day job is a trilingual psychotherapist in beautiful Cambridge. You live with your two boys. So it sounds like your world is full.
It definitely is.
Yes. Give us the storyline of Liar's Dice.
Sure. It's the novel is set in 1970s Brazil, which was the height of the military dictatorship. And it's the story of a 12-year-old illiterate young girl, Dolores, who wakes up one day to find her disabled sister gone, sent away to live in an institution. And she... this is her fight. She does anything, lies, she learns to read and write, anything to get her sister back. And it's the story of this quest of one twin to find the other. And in the process, she bumps into the kind of horrors of the military dictatorship. And it's a kind of coming of age story where she has to forge a sense of self separate from her sister.
Juliet, why do you write this as a novel rather than a memoir?
You know, I never thought of writing a memoir. My own memory is really kind of broken and fragmented. I have a twin sister who has cerebral palsy and epilepsy like the main character, but I don't remember anything about my years living with her in the interior of Brazil. So I really, it had to be fiction. I had to make her up in a way to have her. So, I also wanted to tell a double story about the dictatorship, the silence in the family where, you know, the kind of frozen grief where a child is sent away and the parents don't want to talk about it and what was going on in Brazil in 1970s Brazil at that time. So fiction really gave me the flexibility to be able to tell other people's stories. In her journey, Dolores bumps into... this found family of sex workers who sort of adopt her and kind of show her another model of how to take care of each other. And but she also sees the way the military dictatorship, you know, tortures people. And she kind of at a very young age comes into contact with that. A teacher teaches her how to read and write. And you see what a difference people can make in a person's family. You know, she becomes literate. She contacts her sister. And she has this found family where she makes a business teaching illiterate people how to write. And eventually she does kind of help her family grieve. And I don't want to give away the story, but there is a kind of circle at the end where we come back to the twin sister.
Well, I introduce you as a psychotherapist by profession. Was that useful when you were writing this book?
I think I'm a therapist because I'm the same person that wrote this book. I'm not sure if I use that, but I think in the way that in therapy you have to go into your feelings and enter other people's realities and listen to their stories, I think you do use the same muscles as a fiction writer.
Talking with the writer of Liar's Dice, published by Jenna Bush Hager's Random House imprint, Juliet Faithful on the line. Let me ask you the question, talking more about parents. Do you feel that the parents in this book made the right decision to institutionalize their disabled daughter?
You know, I don't. I feel like it sort of harmed everyone in the book, including them. But I would say that they thought it was the best decision for everyone. At the time, the 1960s and 70s, not only in Brazil, but here in America and kind of in Europe, across the world, I think, people thought institutionalizing disabled children was the best thing. And it was sort of the cutting edge treatment, so to speak, but there really wasn't a lot of treatment. And it was... in a way, warehousing people. But I don't think the family knew that at the time. And they had few supports. And so I think they did. It was a mixture of what was best for them, but also what they thought was best for the family. But doctors often recommended it. And I think because the mother in the story is illiterate, she was very vulnerable to the advice of experts.
Your book, in many ways, described as a testament to the importance of female friendships. Could you expand on that?
Yes. When Dolores starts school, she's illiterate, and she struggles to read and write, and she meets Andrea, a kind of rebellious girl from the wrong, you know, side of the city. She lives in the red light area of Rio, and she's quite defiant of the teachers, but she helps Dolores. She understand how to survive in Rio and how to really, she's quite hopeful. She holds on to hope that Dolores will find her sister and joins her coming up with all these schemes to get back to get to England to find her twin sister. So Dolores is adopted by this group of sex workers who, you know, really take care of each other. And so those female friendships too are really important. And then there is a bookstore owner who has a secret room for censored books. And he's part of the story. He teaches the girls how to really how to use books to heal themselves and their friends.
Yes. And what about the title? What's the significance of this Liar's Dice?
Liar's Dice is a poker game. It's and it was very common, played by men in 1960s and 70s Brazil. And it's about bluffing and luck, which are two main themes in the book. You know, Dolores is born an identical twin, and one of them gets sick and the other one doesn't. And that's just from sheer chance. And so it's this whole idea of bluffing also. The mother hides that she's illiterate, and Dolores herself, when she first starts school, pretends she can read and write. And the government is also bluffing, pretending that the country is doing well and showing the beautiful parts of Rio and hiding away the kind of repression and the censorship. So a lot of the characters are bluffing. And one of the main things that is hidden from Dolores is her parents' grief. She thinks they don't love her sister anymore because they never speak of her. But she's wrong about that, and that's something she's going to find out in the arc of the novel.
Lastly, I dropped the name of Jenna Bush Hager's Random House imprint. Do you think the fact that she's a twin made it resonate with her? I mean, you've got to apply to win.
Absolutely. I think I met with quite a few editors that were interested in my novel, but the way Jenna read it, I felt like she read it with her soul and her body, and she really understood, and she had already sent it to her sister Barbara when I met with her, so that I could tell that she read it deeply and resonated with how it might be to have an identical twin sister sent away, what the kind of the magnitude of that loss and how it would play out. So I think that was really important, that I felt my story was in the perfect place it should be to be given to the world, really.
And hopefully your two sons have read your book, Liar's Dice.
My oldest has, my youngest not yet. He's at the beginning. He's not a big reader, but hopefully he will.
Wonderful, required. If not, carry on. Julia Faithful, how do we find out more information about your work?
I have a website, julietfaithful.com, and there you can see where to buy my books. It's all the usual places, your indie bookstore, bookshop, Amazon, and it's in many bookstores.
Or it should be. Again, Julia Faithful with two L's. Thank you for your work in Liar's Dice. Take care.
Thank you so much, Savvy.
Well, they're back with another opportunity. Always nice to put the spotlight on our own backyard. Well, businesses that are thriving, our Better Made Snack Foods back, introducing a newest delicious product. So that's why we bring you on, Rebecca Penhallow. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And remind me, Better Made, you're more than just the potato chip?
We are more than just potato chips. We have potato chips and popcorn and potato sticks, and we've got a whole lineup of other great tasting snacks.
Better Made Snack Foods, yes, all in our own backyard, founded in 1930, and more. We'll touch on that. What do you introduce us to now, Rebecca?
Today we are introducing our new crispy white brown tortilla chips.
I got to ask the question, why go there?
I got to say, why not go there? Tortilla chips are awesome, and they go with so many different dips, and I think Mexican food is making a great resurgence all over the country and including Michigan. And we're like, why not?
Yes. How do you even start thinking and brainstorming a new product?
We kind of follow the trends and see what's popular. And then we meet with, you know, our ideation teams and come up with some great ideas, and eventually they come to life.
All right. So go into even more detail with, we're branding this as a crispy white round tortilla chips. What kind of options do I have here?
We have our original restaurant style tortilla chips that are more like, obviously, restaurant style. They're the triangle shape. And we decided to come up with the crispy white round. It's a lot smaller. It's more like a bite-sized tortilla chip. And it's great with salsa and guacamole. It's also fantastic for nachos. It's just a different shape, a little bit different texture, a little bit different flavor, stone-ground corn and oil and sea salt, and free of artificial colors and flavors.
And how do you do, like, a taste test?
Internally, we kind of just walk around with some of the product and offer it with some different salsas and just kind of see how it hits.
I kind of like that. That's why Better Made Snack Foods is popular. There is the opportunity for the, are they all gluten-free, or do you get an option here?
They are all gluten-free.
And why is that?
Because they are made from, like I said, just the three ingredients, stone ground corn, oil, and sea salt, which are all naturally gluten-free. So it's a gluten-free option.
Nice. Founded in 1930 in Detroit as Cross and Peters. Tell me about celebrating a 95th anniversary.
We celebrated our 95th in August of last year. We had drawings and prizes, and we gave away 95 gift boxes that were chock full of fantastic snacks. We've done giveaways on our social media, and we just continue to celebrate the family and our roots.
And, of course, so proud, Michigan born and bred, but you ship anywhere, and we find your Better Made anywhere?
You can find all of our snacks on our website at bettermade.com. We also have them, available at our store, at stores throughout Michigan. We do have some smaller retailers throughout the country. You can find whatever you need right here.
That's what's important. All right, and where are headquarters located these days?
In Detroit, where we've been since the 40s.
This is cool. All right. Details one more time about your new product, please.
It is the Better Made New Era Crispy White Round Tortilla Chip.
All right. And a way to find out more information?
Bettermade.com.
All right. Simple. Makes it easy. And I've taken a sneak bite of your tortilla chips. I approve. Rebecca Penhallow, thank you on behalf of Better Made, right in our own backyard. Secret to success is to continue bringing the new rounds, as they say. Take care to you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Your inspiration for the day on this 22nd day of July. Theodore Roosevelt says, do what you can with what you have where you are. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.